Thank you very much, Lynn. And hello, everyone. This is Regina, in for Jay, as they say on CNN. Normally, the second Sunday of the month is when Jay leads the gathering, but he had some molars out and is not quite ready yet to be speaking and leading a gathering. So I'm in for him today, and it's a pleasure to be here. We're going to start, as we always start, by greeting one another while I play our traditional opening song, Awakening, by Deva Premal and Mitten. So please say hi. Dove reminded me by his typing on the board that today is Mother's Day. I knew that earlier today, but since then I've, you know, been in meditation and all of that, and the thought of Mother's Day had left me again. So happy Mother's Day, everyone. let me start by sharing a statement of purpose. I'm going to share today from Awakening Together's third core value, because I feel this is the core value that fits best with the reading and the teaching today. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And one thing that really jumps out at me about that statement of purpose is the word practicing. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Many teachers will tell us that when that final letting go happens, that letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. When that final letting go happens, or at least when the invitation for that final letting go happens, we can't make that happen. We can't make grace come. We can't make that invitation come, that opportunity to drop completely the belief in the individual self as who we are. All we can do is ready ourselves for it, so that when it comes, we are ready to accept it. And that's what we do here in Awakening Together. We practice letting go of that belief. Right? We practice letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And I think today the reading will talk about that a little bit. So we'll get back to that. For now, let me jump into our announcements. First of all, please come back tonight. Join us tonight in the sanctuary, because we have two special events tonight. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, Lynn Johnson will play the second audio from my visit with Michael Langford. We played the first audio last Sunday, and tonight Lynn will play the second audio. The reason Lynn is playing it instead of me is because halfway through the audio, I'm going to have to leave and go to an Awakening Together board meeting. But Lynn will be able to be here the whole time, so she's going to play the audio for us. And then immediately following that audio, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Gina Lake will be here to begin an 8-week mini-series. Gina's mini-series is called Busting the Illusion, which I love that title. In this 8-week mini-series with Gina Lake, we're going to learn how to free ourselves from the false self and its negative and limiting beliefs. Gina says, "You will see clearly how the egoic mind, which creates the false self, operates and draws you into its illusory virtual reality, and how all suffering is created by believing the lies in the egoic thought stream. More importantly, you will discover what you can do about it, how you can detach from the egoic mind and align instead with your true self. You will see how living in alignment with the true self is not only more creative, wise, peaceful, and loving, but also safe and provides for all your needs. This mini-series is essentially about how to move out of the egoic mind and live from a deeper place, which is accessed in the present moment." Yeah, Nancy says, sounds right in line with today's core value. I was having the same thought as I was reading. I think probably many of you know Gina Lake. I did interview her approximately a year ago for our third Sunday satsang. Gina is also the author of about 13 books about awakening to one's true nature, including From Stress to Stillness, Embracing the Now, Radical Happiness, Trusting Life, In the World but Not of It, which is where our reading is going to come from today, A Heroic Life, and one of my favorites, The Jesus Trilogy. So join us tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, for the beginning of this 8-week mini-series with Gina Lake. And I'd also like to remind you all that there is most definitely the opportunity to donate to a special donation fund for the mini-series teachers. And when you donate to that fund, we send 100% of that money, minus the PayPal fee, to the teacher. Awakening Together keeps none of that. But this is a way of showing our gratitude for them coming. And also, many spiritual teachers don't have jobs, what we would call jobs in the world. This is their job. And so the way they feed themselves and pay their mortgage and all of that is through our sharing of generosity. So Gina will be here 8 weeks, so please consider donating. And you can find that donate option at the Awakening Together website under the donate menu. Look for the one that donates for the miniseries. Our second announcement is that Jamie wants in the room. Our second announcement, Awakening Together's fall retreat is coming up in October. It begins on Sunday, October 23rd, and ends on Sunday, October 30th. And it's actually three retreats in a row, just like last year. So you can sign up for one retreat, two retreats, or all three retreats, whatever fits your schedule, your budget, and your interest. The first retreat will begin on Sunday, October 23rd, and it will run through Thursday, October 27th. So it's October 23rd to October 27th, and that is with Regina Dawn Akers. And that retreat will be called Fine-Tune Your Awakening Skills. Sharpen meditation, contemplation, inquiry, journaling, and mind-watching skills in this less talk, more practice retreat. The second retreat is one day only on Friday, October 28th with Brent Haskell. This retreat is titled Faith Without Works, or How Does Faith Work? Take advantage of this rare opportunity to interact with the scribe of Journey Beyond Words and the Other Voice. When it comes to Brent Haskell, there is never a guarantee that he will ever do another retreat again. So we were lucky enough to have him in February, and we're lucky enough to have him coming back in the fall. If you're interested in Brent Haskell, lots of people say they've always wanted to meet him. This is an excellent opportunity to do so. In fact, our weekend retreat leader, John Mark Stroud, is coming a day early because he wants to go to the Brent Haskell retreat. Now, the third retreat with John Mark Stroud does begin Friday evening, October 28th, and goes through lunch on Sunday, October 30th. John Mark's retreat is called Living in the Light, Play Shop. Through laughter and dialogue with one who wakes, embrace the ability to see behind the veil to the Christ mind. So you can learn about all three retreats at awakening-together.org under the events menu. There is early bird pricing for people who register and pay in full by August 15th. We are also providing the ability to make payments, either monthly or weekly, whatever suits you, for those who find it easier to pay for the retreat by making payments. There are also scholarships available. And we have shuttle options from both the Denver and the Colorado Springs airports. So again, you will find all of these details and more at awakening-together.org under the events menu. There's really several pages there related to the fall retreat. You should be able to find out just about anything you want to find out. But if you have questions, feel free to email me. You can do that from a link that is provided right there on the retreat pages, or you can email regina@awakening-together.org. Now, our third announcement is that there are two new Awakening Together classes that are starting very soon. The first one is Introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. This is a short class. It's only 3 weeks long, but it's a very good class. One thing that we do in the Bhagavad Gita class is we read the Bhagavad Gita, which of course is an ancient scripture written, you know, people aren't sure. They say anywhere from 2,500 years ago to 5,000 years ago. Nobody really knows for sure. But we're going to read this ancient scripture and then ask for guidance or feel for guidance to see how that applies to our life today. What is this scripture saying to me today? In addition, the Bhagavad Gita has clarity in it that doesn't show up in quite the same way in any other scripture. Krishna, who is the voice of the Bhagavad Gita, points out in very clear ways the difference between truth and illusion. And there are many spiritual teachings that a lot of spiritual students mistake for truth. And Krishna is very clear, that is not truth, that is still part of the illusion. Here's truth, right? And keeps focusing us back on truth so that we can clear up the confusion we might have about spiritual experience, which is not truth, and truth, which is truth. So it's an excellent class, only 3 weeks long. This is going to be offered on Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific. So that's 9:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And Reverend Jacqueline Eckert will facilitate this class. Registration closes in 2 days on May 10th. So if you are interested, be sure and check it out. You can find the information on the Awakening Together website under the classes menu. Also, there is a second class coming up soon, and it's Introduction to A Course in Miracles. Classes will be on, there's actually two different classes to choose from. One is on Tuesday nights from 7:30 to 9:30 Eastern. So that's 4:30 to 6:30 Pacific. And Jay McCormick will facilitate that class. The other is on Wednesday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, which is 7 a.m. to 9 Pacific. Again, the class is 6 weeks long, and this class starts a week later, so registration is open a little longer until May 15th. And again, you'll find all of the information on the Awakening Together website under the classes menu. So that's it for our announcements today. So what I'm going to do next is play the opening song. This opening song is one of my many, 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 many favorites. I don't have just a few favorite songs. But this opening song to me is a prayer. In this opening song, the Christian band Toby Mac is about to go out and play a concert. And I guess they're probably a pretty well-known Christian band because it sounds like a large concert. But what they're saying as they go out on the concert is basically, you know, everybody's here, we're here, everything's ready to begin, but what we need is you. You being God, or I call it, in this case, spontaneous inspiration. And then they give God, or spontaneous inspiration, permission to steal my show. So this is like a prayer. This is a way of saying, I put myself aside. I am not here to teach from my personal mind what I think is to be taught. I am here to have my show, my talk, stolen. You know, steal my show. You, spontaneous inspiration, take over. So this is our opening song, Steal My Show by Toby Mac.
I'll sit back and watch you go.
All right, tell you what, let's go into prayer. I will begin with a bit of silence, and then when the speaking begins, the speaking begins. So please join me in prayer. The words in the song. Take it away. Have so many meanings. When we make the mistake of believing that we are this person, that we are my opinions, my beliefs, my point of views, my thoughts, even if we don't realize it, we're suffering. And we're creating suffering. Take it away. Means to me. Take away this belief that I am this person, this mind, these opinions, this point of view, etc., etc., etc. Take it away. Leave me empty, clear, vision, open. So that only that which comes through is spontaneous wisdom. There really isn't a need for anything else in this world, although many people believe there is a need for the person and its thoughts and its opinions and its ideas and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The truth is that's where all conflict comes from. What's needed is the nothingness that we are. So take it away. Take it away, this belief that I am this person. Take it away and leave behind nothing but the openness. Amen. Yeah, I open my eyes and Barb says, Manonessa. Yeah. All right. So we're ready for our inspirational reading. And Lynn is going to be the reader today. She is going to read from Gina Lake's newest book, which is In the World But Not of It. And she'll be reading an excerpt from that book. So Lynn, the mic is yours.
Thank you so much, Regina. And I did go ahead and just buy this book. It was $4.99 on Amazon, page 33. All right. So if you have a negative tendency, such as judging or gossiping, do your best to not indulge in this. But if you do, acknowledge that you've made a mistake. Accept that. Have compassion for this human tendency. Forgive yourself and ask others for forgiveness if necessary. Then you will drop back into presence, Christ consciousness. To judge or berate yourself only keeps you separate from your divine self. Before you can accept an imperfection, which stems from an imperfect thought, such as a judgment you first have, you first have to become aware of that thought. I'm going to read that sentence again. Before you can accept an imperfection, which stems from an imperfect thought, such as a judgment, you first have to become aware of that thought. That awareness is the beginning of disidentification from the ego. That little step back, achieved by witnessing thought, is the beginning of realignment with the divine self. This is exactly what is practiced in meditation. You become aware of a thought, you accept that it's there, and you forgive it and yourself for having it. Doing that allows you to return to presence. And I'm just going to do a little aside on this. This is exactly how I meditate, and I'm sure most everyone does. When the little thoughts come up, you just look at it, acknowledge it's there, and move on. Don't add to it. Don't think another thought. Don't make up a story. Just acknowledge it and go on and return to presence. It's simple, and it really is effective. Doing this allows you to return to presence. This is the way from imperfection to perfection. There is no need to do away with imperfection. All that's needed is the right relationship to your imperfections. That relationship is one of acceptance, and that makes it possible to reunite with your divine perfection. The divine is deeply in love with the human. Deeply in love with the human, just as it is, because the divine created the human to be as it is. Acceptance is the bridge that takes you from the human condition of suffering to the freedom and love of your divine nature. Without acceptance, you are stuck in the ego and the suffering it creates. With acceptance, the ego is allowed to be as it is while recognizing that you are not that ego. You accept that you have an ego that causes suffering, but you also know that who you are, in essence, is divine. That mysterious essence is what sees the truth about the ego. Then after accepting and forgiving your humanness, there's one more very important thing to do. Don't go back to the thought stream. Stay in presence by staying in your body and senses and noticing the vast spaciousness from which you are looking, hearing, sensing, and experiencing. Notice it and sink into it. Remain in it. The only thing that can take you out of presence is the voice in your head. The longer you stay in presence, the more this spacious sense of your divine self opens up and you discover how very satisfying and complete it is. To be happy, you don't need what the ego thinks you need. The joy of pure existence is there whenever you turn the spotlight of your attention onto it and keep it there long enough for the divine self to open like a flower and release its fragrance. And this, again, another aside here, this is what happens when I stop judging the world and judging my attention, what I'm doing with it. All of a sudden I begin to actually be able to appreciate it and see it in a loving way and not be afraid of it and know that my experience is a perfect experience. And no matter what that experience may be, it is the perfect experience for me right now. And my only job is to experience it, acknowledge it, and not cling to it. It's very simple. But unless you experience what you're here to experience, you're going to have to come back and experience it again until you get it. That's my opinion. That has nothing to do with this reading. Anyway, the proof that you are not the ego, which is why you are able to accept the ego, is that you are aware of the ego. What is aware of the ego cannot be the ego. Just as the eye can't see itself, the ego can't see itself. Only something outside the ego can see the ego. You are able to be aware of what is going on within the human condition because you are not only human. You are, in fact, what is aware of everything. Oh, and by the way, the ego can't see you either. The ego can't see what you are at all. You can see the ego. The ego can't see what you are. Because if it did, it would just stop. But it can't. So you are, in fact, what is aware of everything. Thoughts, feelings, desires, intuitions, the sense of aliveness and existence, drives, urges, inspiration, everything in the external world that is brought to you through the sense organ that is your body-mind. This awareness is perfect, unadulterated, and cannot be harmed by any imperfection. Nothing your human self has ever done has harmed the perfection of your divine self. You can't change God. When you're in touch with this perfection and know yourself as this, you act accordingly in peace, love, and kindness towards all. When this perfection infuses and is expressed through the human self, it is very beautiful indeed. But this doesn't do away with the ego, excuse me, which will rise again and seek expression. Then awareness, acceptance, compassion, and forgiveness of the ego are called for again. And even Nisargadatta said occasionally ego thoughts came up to him, and he had to recognize that they were not real. Even at his stage when he was talking to people in that little room, he said, occasionally these things come up to me. So apparently Ramana Maharshi was right. He said, be vigilant to the last breath, because as long as we're in a body or think we are, we will be thinking ego thoughts on some level. So, you know, just forgive it. This is the dance between the human self and the divine self that continues moment to moment. Always you, the one awakening from the egoic trance, must choose what you will express, who you will be in that moment. Will you be the ego-dominated human self or the divine-infused human self? And you know you can do this. We can shift our attention from the ego world to our divine self in a split second and be seeing from the level of the divine in a split second above the battleground. And yet we choose to live a life of suffering. Which is another crazy thing. So, okay. With practice, choosing the divine self becomes much easier, but that choice must still be made. That choice eventually becomes habitual, as ego identification once was habitual. But even then, the ego still exists in potential. Oops. Being in touch with perfection or presence is always the secret to happiness. When you're in presence, and that's with a capital P, enjoying life is natural because you have no judgments or desires for life to be any different than it is. When you have no judgments or desires, your circumstances can't upset you. Because what I have is exactly what I want. It's perfect. You just enjoy life as it is. You fall into the moment. You lose your egoic self. And that's enjoyable enough. Amen. Thank you for letting me read this, Regina. This mic is all yours.
Thank you very much, Lynn. I selected this reading yesterday. Jay let me know on Friday night that he wasn't going to be able to be here. And so I am reading Gina Lake's newest book. I'm further along than this particular entry. This is only on page 33. But what I did was just a random opening of the book. I just thought, well, you know, this is a good book. I'll just open it anywhere, and that will be the reading. And so I opened it up to 33 and began reading. And as I began reading, the first image that came to my mind was a television commercial, which maybe some of you had seen. I kind of wish we were in a physical church with a big white screen and I had a projection system where I could play that commercial for you right now. But maybe someday we'll actually have a platform, an online platform, where I can do just that. But today I can't, so you're going to have to use your imagination if you haven't seen this commercial. Try and imagine it as I describe it. It is a Geico insurance commercial. And in the commercial, you see the little gecko that is their icon, right? You see the little gecko walking through like a dark cave. And then he comes to an opening in the cave and he's looking out. And he is supposed to be near Mount Rushmore. He's supposed to be able to see the presidents. But he's looking out and he's like, I can't see them anywhere. And then the camera pans back and you see he's actually in Mount Rushmore. He's standing in the eye of one of the presidents. And the reason he can't see Mount Rushmore is because he's so close to it. I mean, he's literally in it. And sometimes we're that way with the ego. There's another interpretation of that commercial too, but I'm not going to go to that right now. I want to go to this interpretation because it fits with the reading, with the lesson. When we are fully identified with the person, with the thoughts, with the thinking, with the point of view, we can't see it. Just like that gecko could not see Mount Rushmore because he was fully in it, right? When we are fully in the ego, we can't see it in that moment. And there's nothing we can do at that point but believe it and speak it and act it out. There's no distance between us and the ego in that moment. However, my guess is that there's no one in this room who is identified with the ego 100% of the time anymore. Maybe at one time, we really believed it where it seemed like 100%. I don't personally think it can ever be 100%, maybe 98%, 99%, but, close to 100. And all of us maybe have lived in this lifetime. We remember when we were 100% identified or 98% identified with the ego and we could not see it. You could say it's just who we were. Right? Because we were so close to it. It's what we acted out. It's what we lived all of the time. We believed every thought. We believed every opinion. We believed every point of view. But I don't think that's true for us anymore, is it? Not 100% or not 98%. Who knows? I suppose for each of us, based on our practice, we could say that we're probably on different stages of breaking away from that identification, and that's okay. Only the ego would tell you that your current stage of breaking away from that identification is not good enough. And when you believe those kinds of thoughts, you're just being identified again, right? But I think probably all of us can see our ego thoughts from some distance, at least part of the time. Which means we are in the process of disidentifying from the ego. That means we are in the process of awakening. Or, what some teachers might say, some teachers will definitely say there is no process of awakening. You are either awake or you are not awake, and I do understand that point of view fully. So another way to word that, what we call the process of awakening, maybe even more accurately, is the process of ripening for awakening. We are in that process of ripening for awakening. And that's why, at least some of the time, we see the ego. We're not in it, right? In that commercial, when we had the gecko's point of view and we were looking out from the gecko's eyes, we couldn't see Mount Rushmore either. We couldn't see it either. He's looking, there's no Mount Rushmore out there. But when the commercial shifts to what was probably a helicopter, although you don't ever see it, but it had to have been a helicopter, and the camera pans out and you see Mount Rushmore, when you can see it, you're not in it, right? You couldn't see it when you were in it from the gecko's point of view, but you could see it when you were not in it from the helicopter's point of view, right? And so I would say that all of us here experience the helicopter's point of view at least sometimes. We see that ego. Whatever it's saying, whatever it's doing, we see it. And one thing that's important, I think, to realize is that when we see it, we are not in it. Just think of the helicopter and the gecko. The ego loves to lie to us. And we accidentally slip into being in it again sometimes. And one of the ego's favorite lies is that you're bad for believing the ego. Which really is insanity. I mean, here you've got the voice, you know, this chattering wanting you to believe it. And then when you do believe it, it says, zing, you're bad for believing me. I mean, that's just insanity, you know. It's like talking out both sides of your mouth. You know, you'd think that it would tell you, oh, you're right for believing me. You're innocent for believing me. You're perfect when you believe me. But no. It says you're bad for believing me. Yeah, it's a catch-22. So the moral of the story is, and what I think, you know, Gina Lake is talking about here, is that when we see the ego, you know, maybe I see a vicious judgment in my mind, but I'm seeing it from the helicopter's point of view. I'm seeing it. If then the very next thought that comes is I'm guilty for thinking that thought, and I fall into believing I'm guilty for thinking that thought, I just got out of the helicopter and went right back to the gecko's point of view. I'm in it again. The trick is to learn to stay in the helicopter, no matter what the ego throws at us, including that thought that seems to have the most gravity of all, that you're guilty. And for me, the way that we do this is by remembering our purpose. You know, nearly everyone here, if not everyone here, is a member of Awakening Together. And when you joined Awakening Together, you were sent via email a joined purpose, a shared purpose, and 5 core values. And you were told, only if you agree with these, only if that is your purpose and these core values are your core values, then go ahead and confirm your joining, right? Then become a member. And if you're a member, then at some point you either didn't read that part of the email or you did, you agreed, and you confirmed your membership. That means that your purpose and my purpose is exactly the same. There's no difference between our purpose for this life. There's no difference between your purpose and my purpose. It cannot be found. And our shared purpose is to awaken to one true self. To awaken to one true self, which Gina Lake in this reading was calling presence. But in the commercial, it would be the helicopter. Definitely not the gecko. Right? The helicopter. So for me, a very simple way to stay in purpose is to stay in the helicopter. Watch. There's the thought, this vicious judgment against a person. I see that. There's another thought, that I am guilty for that vicious judgment showing up. I see that. Oh, there's another thought, that now I'm good because I'm not falling for the ego. I see that. Right? And at the same time, oh, I like that. That's very helicopter-like. Dove writes, hover. Isn't that helicopter-like? Hover, observe, watch. How? So we could say this is how we let go of the ego. Isn't that cute? Hover, observe, watch. How? But to me, there's another important point, and Gina Lake talks about that as well. It isn't just the mind watching. Once upon a time, I used to do just the mind watching, and that was perfect because that was enough for me at that time. I was learning a new skill, right? I had always been the gecko. I had always been in it. And now I was beginning to learn to watch it. I called that mind watching. I was learning to watch it. And that's it. That's the only skill I was learning at that time. Sometimes I think it's great to learn one thing at a time and learn it really well. But later, I became aware of something else, which is not only watching the mind from a distance, from the helicopter, not just that, but also noticing being in the helicopter. You know, the helicopter, in a way, is in space, right? It's just floating out there in the air. Whoops. I was kicked out of Pal Talk. I'm returning, I hope.
Room, so she could probably just come back in. Yeah, she's back. Okay, going, turning the mic over to Regina. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Barb. I was just kicked out. but anyway, as I was saying, the first skill that I learned was the mind watching. And it was focused on just that, just watching thoughts, right? And noticing that they were thoughts, right? But then at some point I became aware of a second, I don't know if skill is exactly the right word, but since I don't have another word, I'll call it a skill. A second skill, which was equally important, and that was noticing that I'm in the helicopter. Noticing, and again, the helicopter, remember, the helicopter's just out there in space or open air or blue sky, right? Just noticing that. Right? So, Sunny, I say that, and sometimes that's followed by the exact space that it is. The next word just doesn't come too quickly. At the point where we are able to stay in the helicopter quite a bit, we're not the gecko near as much. We are also ready to start just staying in the space, the openness, the non-thinking, the being, the presence. Another word that I use for this now is clarity. Once upon a time, I thought of clarity differently. I thought of clarity as what A Course in Miracles and NTI would call the Holy Spirit. And the way that looked is this. You know, I would have a thought, you know, a thought that Jasmine doesn't respect me. And if I'm in that thought, I'm feeling anger and getting mad at her, right? But then another thought would come to remind me, just look at that. And that other thought that came to remind me, just look at that. I used to call that clarity. And that is clarity, I think, with a, I'm going to give it a little C right now. The thought that comes to remind me to just look, the thought that reminds me to get out of Mount Rushmore, out of the gecko, and into the helicopter is a little C clarity. But now I've become aware of the capital C clarity, which is nothing. It's just being. You could call it being aware. You can call it presence. And so what I hear Gina Lake saying in this reading is that we need to practice both skills, but maybe most importantly, we need to return to that presence and hang out there, just noticing that we're there as much as possible. So like in the beginning, you know, my focus, even though it was from the helicopter, my focus was constantly watching thoughts. And you guys have heard me talk about this. You know, you've heard me talk about the self-talk I used while I was watching thoughts. So it was a very helpful point of view because I was in the helicopter. I'm watching the thoughts. I'm, you know, reminding myself that they're not true, that this too shall pass, et cetera, et cetera. But now to just, it seems more important. It seems like I'm ready to just fall back a little further. You know, imagine that you're in a helicopter and this helicopter is, the roof is all glass, like a glass dome. And I guess you have on some noise canceling headsets because you can't even hear the motor. And you just fall back and there's just the sky. And you're just focused on that. And to be honest, I don't even think it's important just to focus on that. I think I did start there too. You know, there was a time, years, where I would, you know, whenever I noticed that, I would just focus on that. But now it seems that it's really important to let myself fall in love with that. Why? Well, the first answer that comes to my mind when I ask that question is because whether we know it or not, we were or are in love with the ego, in love with me, in love with who I am, or at least who we think we are. If I was able to sit down and talk to each of you one-on-one, and we were using absolute honesty, we could each tell each other what makes us good or better or more lucky or more beautiful than others. You see, that's where we're in love with the ego. We're in love with who we think we are. Even if a lot of the time we hate it, a lot of the time we think we want to escape it, the truth is that piece is there too. This is called specialness, right? But it's really being in love, maybe not even being totally conscious of the fact that we're in love, but in love with who we think we are. Gina Lake talks about how the ego will rise again and seek expression. Well, do you know why? Because we gravitate back towards it because we're in love with who we think we are. We're in love with me. So the antidote to being in love with me is to fall in love with true self, which actually would be a greater love and a stronger gravity. And as we pay attention to our true self and let ourselves fall in love with our true self, the gravity of the ego is naturally weakened, which means that it rises again less and less and less. So remember, as long as we are in love with our little self, as long as we are in love with me to any degree, there will be times that we will return to the gecko position. And we may believe a thought, we may say something, we may do something, we may write something. But to the degree that we have fallen in love with the true self, that will become shorter and shorter and briefer and briefer. We will see it quicker. As Gina says, we will forgive ourselves, which really means we will not believe any following thoughts that may come of guilt about that, right? The next thought that comes, you're guilty for having slipped into that position again. We won't believe. Really, forgiveness isn't necessary. I mean, you know, even though we use that term, it's a very big term in A Course in Miracles. Forgiveness isn't necessary. It's just not believing the thought of guilt. And again, when we believe the thought of guilt, we've just gone back to the gecko position again. So what's really necessary is to stay in the helicopter, right? Forgiveness is just not falling back into believing. So we slip into our ego. We see it. The next thought that comes telling us how bad we are for doing that, we don't believe that thought either. We stay in the helicopter. And then when we kind of get our bearings in the helicopter, whatever thoughts are there, and we really say, hey, wait a minute, I notice I'm in the helicopter, I'm watching these thoughts, I'm not believing them. Then we lay back and we look out the glass dome and we focus on awareness. And we allow ourselves to fall in love with our truth. Because it is our truth. Why should we want to be this paper personality that suffers and creates suffering? That's the way it's beginning to look to me. Both this personality, the one that you would call mine, and the ones that you would call yours, your personality. And some of you guys I know really well. You know, I know Danielle really well. I know Lynn pretty well. You know, some of you guys I know really well. Jay, I know, you know, fairly well, right? I mean, I know your personalities. I don't take your personalities any more seriously than I take my own. They are paper personalities. They're paper. They're not real. They're flimsy. Why would I want a paper world? That's a thought that's just running through my mind. Why would I want a paper world? Paper people, paper towns. Paper lives, paper drama. And I can have this reality that is my truth, your truth, our truth. And so I let go of the paper very quickly. Whether it shows up in what appears to be my mind, whether it's my thought about you, or whether it seems to be you, whether you're in front of me right now, acting out, acting out, acting out, I let it go. To me, your ego and my ego are no different. They are both not true. They are both not to be taken seriously. They are both to be let go. And just like if the thought would come that I'm guilty for slipping into my ego, and of course I just watch that and let that go too, if the thought comes to me that you are guilty for slipping into your ego, I let that go in the same way. You see, there's no difference between you and me. It's not like I can disbelieve my ego, but I believe yours. In fact, believing yours would only be indirectly believing mine, to be honest, right? So no matter where it seems to show up, identification with paper personalities, I just let it go. I just shift into awareness. I lay back and look at the sky and fall in love. Right now I am in the process of falling in love. It seems to me that right now the most important thing I can do is just to keep falling in love. Like that is my number one function right now. Once upon a time it was mind watching, and for some of you it might still be mind watching. Some of you might not even know yet what I'm talking about when I talk about awareness or presence. I mean, there was a time I didn't know that. So if you don't know that, I get it. I mean, I didn't either. I get it. And that's okay. We each got to be right where we're at. That's what takes us to the next stage or phase or whatever you want to call it. And that's why Awakening Together has that core value of letting everyone be right where they're at, right? We each have to walk this path genuinely. So if you're in the phase of just learning mind watching, learning not to be the gecko and get in the helicopter, then just keep doing that. But if you're in the phase of laying down, not even looking towards Mount Rushmore anymore, looking up at the nothingness, the blue sky, and then just falling deeply, deeply, deeply in love with that, then do that. Because that's what weakens the gravity of the ego. And weakening the gravity of the ego is the most important thing we can do. Because we are here to let go of believing that the individual self is who we are. All right. So I am going to move into our song of contemplation. This song is from, I have two songs to choose from. I'm going to play Every Breath Is Yours by the Waterboys and just let this song be a symbol of laying back and being aware of the emptiness. And by the way, if you would like to make a donation to Awakening Together, this is one of those opportunities. Barb will give you a link in the room to follow and make that donation. So here's our song for contemplation, Every Breath Is Yours by the Waterboys.
I give myself to you, beloved. The self that was mystified and lost. Every breath is yours, beloved. Every breath is yours. Every breath.
Lovely song, isn't it? Ron has asked a question. Can you just be fully present when you are with other people without ignoring them, and what does that look like? Yeah, actually, you can be. In fact, you're actually more with them than you are when you're in your head. You know, when someone is with you and they're talking to you, but the whole time they're talking, you're thinking about what they're saying. That's when you're not with them. When you're just the openness, just the clarity, just being, that's when you're fully with them. All right, this is the time that we share based on the reading and the teaching. So if anyone would like to take the mic and share, please put up your hand. I'm going to read what Karen has written. This teaching goes perfect with the ACIM lesson today, 128. The world I see holds nothing that I want. The world I believe I see holds nothing that I want. Yeah, and this is why it looks like paper towns, right? Why would you want paper towns? See, it's weakening. Something is weakening in order for me to see paper towns, where I used to really see a world that I was quite involved in. I just noticed I'm scrolled down, so I can't even see if your hands are up. Okay, good. I scrolled up, and now I see. Gloria, the mic is yours.
Okay, good morning. Are you able to hear me? Perfect. Good morning. That was a beautiful teaching this morning, Regina. and a beautiful reading as well, Lynn. I just wanted to share, I had, and I'm really looking forward to Gina Lake tonight with the miniseries. So we'll be waiting to see how wonderful that is. But I had an experience recently that was very much reminded me of this teaching. I was watching a movie, Alice Creed, yesterday. I was watching this movie, and very quickly I was really realizing I wasn't interested in the movie. It was about a girl who had been kidnapped, and it was just very quickly coming to mind that I didn't care for the movie. So in the midst of that movie and thinking, you know, I think I'm going to watch something else, I very clearly heard a voice in my head say, "Can you see the screen?" And I looked again and I refocused my eyes. And you know how those movies have, some movies will play and not the entire screen is taken up. Only the middle section of the screen is where the movie is. So I refocused my eyes and I could see that the screen was beyond that movie, that, you know, but I really had to refocus to see the screen instead of the movie. So I you know, I acknowledge, yes, I do see the screen. And so then the next thought was, focus on the screen when there's a part in this movie that doesn't appeal to you, because the movie had its ups and downs. It was about love and anger, betrayal. And so the parts of the movie that came up that I didn't particularly care for, I'd focus in on the screen. So by the end of the movie, I really got a really experience with seeing that is exactly what was being taught today, that we it has to be that we're focusing more on what we truly are instead of what movie is playing on the screen or what drama is unfolding in the current moment, that focus has to, you know, really go towards the screen. So I just wanted to share that experience. It was a pretty powerful experience. And like I said, by the end of the movie, I was really, just felt much more understanding that that it is really about, it's not about the movie that's playing on the screen. It is, because it's real to us. It's our experience. It's our everyday, the way we're moving about in the world, and what's arising for us in this everyday experience is very much a big part, like Regina's example of the gecko. We're right next to it. I mean, we're right in it. It's so big to us that we can't see the screen. We can't see the screen because we're so involved in the movie. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you so much for the teaching today, and I'll let go of the mic.
Yeah, thank you. And that was another perfect example. Again, a different way of looking at the exact same thing. When we're totally focused on the movie, we don't even notice the screen. But when we're focused on the screen, there is definitely some distance from the movie, right? The movie loses its importance. We may even lose all interest in the movie as we pay attention to the screen, especially if we fall in love with the screen, right? Can you imagine falling in love with the screen? The movie would have no gravity if we loved the screen more. The problem is when we love the movie more, right? So it's all a question of what am I in love with? Does anyone else want to share before I go to our closing song? All right, then. Tonight in the sanctuary As Gloria mentioned, there will be Gina Lake again at 9 p.m. And just before that at 8 p.m. is the second Michael Langford audio. And again, I feel like we're very, very lucky to have these audios. This is the only time Michael Langford has ever been interviewed. And for all we know, the only time that he ever will be. So just as we're lucky to have Brent Haskell coming to our retreats, because he doesn't do that, we're very lucky to have Michael Langford, because he doesn't do that. And I think this is the first time that Gina Lake has done what she's doing tonight. And she was so quick to say yes when I asked her. So eager to come and spend 8 weeks with us. So we must be doing something right, because we are attracting a lot of good teachers, you know, to really help pull us up. And I don't know, I guess sometimes people don't like to think of teachers as being ahead of them. I actually love a teacher that's ahead of me. In fact, that's the only kind of teacher I would want. So I'm really happy that we have these great teachers. And by the way, there's another great teacher coming on Wednesday. Ellie Ruzdar is coming back live. She will be here in the sanctuary with me on Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you're available on Wednesday at 2 p.m., please come and join me and Ellie Ruzdar. If you aren't available on Wednesday, don't worry. Next Sunday night at 7:30, I will replay that audio. So if you're not able to come in the middle of the day on Wednesday, just come next Sunday night. And even if you do come in the middle of the day on Wednesday, I'd say come again, listen again. I usually find when I listen to these teachers that are ahead of me 2, 3, 4, 5 times, each time I listen, I hear a little deeper. So hearing it once really isn't enough. And thank you, everyone, for coming this morning. I enjoy being with you, and I'm going to play our closing song. This is another song that goes great with the theme of the teaching today. This is by Kirtana. It's called The Train Song, and if you've never listened to this song, I really recommend that you focus on listening to every word. It's such a great song. So here we go, Kirtana, The Train Song.
Just because the tracks are laid, or just because your ticket's paid for, and some crazed conductor keeps on calling out your name, you don't need to board the train. You don't need to board the train. Trains of thought will come. Thoughts are passing through.
do think that even before I came to church, I went upstairs to the kitchen to get some water, and I noticed somebody was preparing to make breakfast for me. It is, after all, Mother's Day, but I actually get breakfast every Sunday. But it looked like there was a little special preparation going on a little earlier. So I think I need to go. Thank you very much, everyone. It's been great being with you. And I'll see you tonight. I hope so. It's going to be a great night here, too. Bye.